who was in prison, in a Roman prison as it were, and writing from that place, reminded the believers that whatever and all of his credentials, he had credentials, something wonderful. He was an extraordinary person. He was qualified, an extraordinary person in an extraordinary way. In that chapter 3 and verse 7, the things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So I had to turn my whole world inside out and upside down. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, waste, refuge, that I may win Christ. There was something wonderful happened to Paul, that he discovered that God was who he was in a most wonderful way, and thus the excellency, to excel in the excellency, the over, above and beyond, the super over, above and beyond of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That, to know you, God, is what it's all about. And that's correct. That's what the gospel is. The gospel does what? It takes and doesn't bring you to heaven. It brings God to you, which is what the gospel is. For God to get to you. For you to have heaven in your heart. Heaven and hell are there, but it isn't about that. Those are there. It's about God. God giving a dead person life. Whose life? His life. Now, so that's the whole point of it all. And thus, if that's what it's all about, why we get out of bed, why we go to bed, why we eat. And thus, in verse 12, you know, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. I am in pursuit. I am following after that, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Christ has a wonderful, wonderful plan for my life from the foundation of the world. And I want to pursue that. Who has that? God does. How am I going to get to God? In the person of Jesus Christ. I need to know the person of Jesus Christ to get to God, to know the plan, to know the benefits. Without him, I can't know them. Thus, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I'm in the process. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm still here on planet Earth, said Paul. He's going to say later in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I've finished. But he can't say it now. He's in the process. We're still here. We got out of bed. We still breathe. There's still something left that God has in mind. And thus, forgetting those things which are behind me, you must do that properly. And forgetting means I forget. It means I'm hiding it, from the verb to hide from myself. I am hiding from myself so that I don't know that I'm hiding it. It's so hidden I don't know where it is. Forgetting. I can't even remember what I hid. Hide. If you don't do that, then you're dragging baggage. And baggage accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. And if we don't handle it well, it gets a lot of baggage. And we tend up living in yesterday, trying to live today, yesterday, and it's impossible to have a expectancy and anticipation of tomorrow because we're so caught up today because of yesterday. Now, having said that, and that's Paul, the goal, the move forward, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if you would, Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. May I go to verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, Paul's still in prison, remember, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, just think of military kind of thing, your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we have a one, we're looking personally to God. We're looking to God, and as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to live and walk and behave, and we're to do so believing in the faith, verse 7, the body of truth that is to be believed, believers are believing what God told them to believe, what God gave them to believe. And in the process of that, we're to abound in thanksgiving now, that as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, just to make it so you can't miss that so much, I would remind you in Israel, when Israel exited from Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian armies behind them out to get them. When they came to the Red Sea, how easy or hard was it for them to get out of Egypt? That's a question. What did they do? They put their foot on the dry land where the Red Sea was. They put their foot down and crossed. That's all they did. Now, that's how they got out of Egypt. How did they get into the Jordan? Just as easy as they got out of Egypt, the same way. They put their foot down on dry ground and walked across the Jordan River. How did you receive Christ? You believed by faith on a personal, having a personal relationship to Christ. How are you going to live? The same way. It's no harder to live than it was to get saved. You have to do it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, dear friend. Thus, the world we live in, sin, sorrow, suffering, the realities of life, they never, never go away. When you go to bed, they're there. And when you get up in the morning or whenever you do, it's there. They're there all through the night. Always, always there. As long as you're on planet Earth, you're going to have them. It's the way it is. The way it is. There's nothing to do with right or wrong from a human standpoint. They're all doing what they do with trying to exclude and seeking to exclude God. Now, God, did you tell us about that so that we would understand that? Because we're apt to misunderstand what it means to be a believer. Thus, in John chapter 14, just to run it by you, John chapter 4, remind you what he said. In John chapter 14, what did you tell us? Here we are on planet Earth, and we're there. And we're looking to, hopefully, the market will go up and the gas will go down and the jobs will be plentiful and the government will be perfect and everything. But not so. Not so. But we have that in the back of our mind. Something will be better, better, better. Lord, how did you tell us? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Trouble, trouble. You're going to have trouble. You're looking to me, and I take the brunt, said the Lord Jesus, of all of the devil's flack and all of the devil's attack. I take it. And you just sit there and you don't even understand what's happening. But I want you to know I'm going to go. And I want you to know that since I'm gone, you are going to be the target. You always go down the ladder. Thus, John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm not going to give you, the world isn't going to soothe your heart. Sin, sorrow, suffering, and everything else that goes with it. You're never going to get it that way. What you need is peace. The world cannot give you that peace at all. I give you that peace. Now, knowing it's still there in the world, you can't get out, you can't get away from it. You breathe it. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Go with me, please, over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 18. 15 and 18. If the world, said the Lord Jesus in the upper world, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So, we got that. So I don't say, boy, you're picking on me. Nothing doing. Before you came along, I had it. Now that I'm gone, you get it. You get it. And if the Lord was still here, they'd be after him directly. And they are after him directly in the believer's heart. Thus, John 15 and 19. If ye were of the world, if you belong to it, the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you, hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. We're going to have honoring God, then others will honor God that honor God. And those that don't honor God won't honor God. Skipping, if I may, down to verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not, N-O-T, they know not him that sent me. They have no idea what's going on. And since they've left God out of the picture, then the chief person that makes it, the creator that makes it all make sense, is missing. And then we have to come up with something of why we're here. Why are things like they are? Why aren't things different? Why aren't, what, why, how, come, where? We have no answers. We have no answers. We try to get them. Evolution, forget it, you know. Like the thing I read on evolution the other day, it was very good. You know, remember the lady princess that kissed the frog or whatever, and the frog became a prince, something like that. And evolution is what? The prince became a frog. The prince is out of a frog. The very verse. The frog, prince, frog becomes a prince. The frog becomes a prince, evolution. The frog becomes a prince. How's that for a fairy tale? Let's see. John chapter 15, 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated me, and they hate my Father. They hate me. They hate me. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not stumble. You don't get offended. You don't lose your cool. You don't get upset. You don't get emotionally distraught. Which is what we did on Wednesday a little bit. People aren't thinking. And you've got to do it from heaven's standpoint, not from earth, not from your flesh. God help us. And verse 2, 16 and 2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. These things, verse 3, will they do unto you because they have not known the Father and they have not known me. They're going to do them to you. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world ye shall have tribulation, trouble, pressure, squeezing. But be of good cheer, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So here we are looking and we're there, and the Lord Jesus said, I want you to know what's ahead. Now, what else do I want to understand? John chapter 17. John chapter 17. He goes from talking to the disciples, apostles, to his Father in his perfect humanity. And thus, in verse chapter 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them, guard them from the evil one. That's what I want. I want them there. But there, sin, sorrow, suffering, and everything, that's right, I want them there. They aren't there, and the world hates them because it hates me, because I tell them they need to get saved, and that sin, sorrowing, and suffering are not the way to go to heaven. It is not what heaven is about. It is not what God is about. God is about peace and joy and perfection, purity. It is not about those things. And the world is caught in them, trying to solve them. God, the Lord said, I want them kept in, I want them guarded from the evil one. I want them kept in the world. That's what I want. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And that's the rub. You see, if you just be like us, but you can't be like us. Why can't you think like we do and feel like we do? Because we are not like you. We were like you. We aren't like you. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep, there's your word, little word, verb, as in verse 15. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keep them, guard them, keep them. Care for them. Keep an eye on them. God, but leave them there. Leave them there. Why couldn't we just have a little island and avoid it all? Because that is not God's way. God's way is to be a testimony to who he is. After all, it's his creation. Every human being is his creation, creature, and God has made them. God is obligated to be God to them. God is obligated to be merciful and gracious to them. God is long-suffering to them. And God waits. And God is in the day of grace, dispensation of grace in which we're in. The grace of God brings the person of Christ in the believing heart, in his church, to the world. The world hates it. That's right. But it's grace. It isn't going to go away. Nothing's going to change. Now, what do we do then? God, you certainly didn't leave us with some impression that someone, it's going to be good when you get saved. No, sir. Going to be difficult when you get saved in time. But you're going to be able to live in time in the light of eternity. I'm going to bring all of the resources of heaven to you to live in a world poverty-stricken and bankrupt. Thus, over in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians in chapter 5, God didn't miss a trick in telling us what we're in for. Now, and that's why many people don't get saved, you know, because they know they have to change. They don't want to change. They got to think differently. They don't want to think differently. They don't want to think like that. And they don't. And they don't get saved either. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Redeeming, buying up the time. Why are we doing that? Because the days in which we are living in are evil, evil, evil. And therefore we need to stand. And you'll notice, please, stand. Well, we can't walk away. Can't we just run away? Move. No. Well, what are we to do? Ephesians 6. And you'll notice, please, in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? In order that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the ways, the methods, the craftiness, the ingenuity, the genius of the devil. Wow. Stand. But move. No, stand. Stand. As opposed to sit, stand. Stand. Persevere. Stand. Persevere. Perseverance. Go with me now, skip down, if you would, to get the idea. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, the whole of it. Remember, you can't. We shared it on Wednesday. Remember the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand. That you may be able to withstand. And here, in God's wonderful working, is the withstanding, to stand against, to stand, to resist. To be able to resist in the evil day. You got to buy up the time. The days are evil. The devil is a genius in doing what he's doing. And unless we're protected, we're going to get clipped. Verse 13, to be able to withstand, we've got to have the whole armor of God because it's an evil day. And God is never going to tell you it's a good day. Never. Not until he comes. And then it's only a good day because he rules with rod. With what? A rod of iron. Good day. Human heart is there. Always there. When is it going to quit? Never. Never. You should be rather amazed that it isn't worse than it is. Rather thankful, if you ask me. It's going to get the other way. Would you note, please, in verse 14... Oh, let me finish verse 13. May be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Over again, same word, stand, 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 stand. To be able to stand. Stand up. Not sit down, not back down, not under the couch. Stand. And withstand. And resist. You're there. The whole armor of God has to protect you because everything is coming from all sides, all the opponent, the opposition, all there. Never going to go away. Not going to go away. Not as long as you're in this body. Not going to go away. Thus, Ephesians 1, balance it, you know. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ in the heavenlies. And so we have the blessing. They have all the blessing. You have all the resources. Is God upset about what happens? No. God already knows what's going to happen. God knows it all. And God's relaxed. God already has the pieces together. The game of chess is played, as it were. And he's already won the game. He knows every move the devil will make
doesn't he? He does. What's in the mind of the devil and the demon world, he already knows, the same as he knows everything in our mind already. God, are you worried, upset? No, no, no. No, then stand. Withstand. How can I? Because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing, and in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, you know, Ephesians 2, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 20, chapter 1. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And you notice verse 19. What is the exceeding riches, greatness of his power to us who believe? It's for us. Why are you doing it? For us. Why are we there? Why are you blessing us? For your own honor. Why are we there? Seated. We're seated already. Because Christ is seated. And whom do we represent? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we here? To represent him. Does he know that? Sure he does. And thus, we're seated. Put on the whole armor of God while you're here. You all have heaven's protection. You have heaven's provision. But you need to put it on. You'll be very vulnerable if you don't. To persons, words, thoughts, people. You'll be very vulnerable. Humans will make you very vulnerable. Humans. Including our own heart. Now having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would, in Deuteronomy, please. And we share together that God told us right outright what you're in for. He told us how to survive. He made all the provision for us. It's his armor. The Spirit of God does it. It's his blessing, his resources for us. So here we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're up against. And he made provisions for us not to be cowards, not to cringe, not to cry wrongly, to stand there. It's a war, a terrible war. Not a fun time. Not a fun time at all. And as the world becomes more and more outwardly against God, then they are on a collision course with God, are they not? Deuteronomy chapter 8, going back, we're excellency, pursuing it, then what do I want to do? Well, Israel, God, can you give me an example? Can you give me some encouragement on what to do? I want to pursue forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. God, I want to pursue. I want to be in pursuit. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 8, God, what did you do? You had a wonderful plan for Israel. Wonderful plan. And in Israel, God, you took them out of Egypt. Do you ever remember God saying to Israel, I want you to possess Egypt? Do you ever remember that? I've given you Egypt. You remember that? Do you ever remember God saying to Israel, I've given you the wilderness. I've given you the wilderness. Sinai down there. Saudi Arabia. Oil. Remember reading that? No. God never gave Egypt to Israel. He never gave the wilderness to Israel. Never. So when we're trying to go and get when they were trying to go and get back into the Egypt, back into the system, God said, I didn't give you that. That is not my will. Not my will for you. And thus, would you please note Deuteronomy 8 and in verse 5. thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without a scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those whose hills thou mayest dig brass and bronze. When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou hast blessed the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds, etc., multiply. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then just note the first words, 15. God who led thee. Verse 16. God who fed thee. Down to verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. So shall ye perish, because you would not obey or be obedient unto the voice of the Lord God. God, there they were. What a privilege they had to go down the corridor of time. They had a land, you had a wonderful land for them. A God's will for their life. God's will, God's will. Would you go with me for a moment over to the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Here's Israel, the wilderness, no. Egypt, no. The land, yes. That's God's will. That's God's will. The world has Egypt and the world has the wilderness. But you have the land. Now, were they the land? Abraham, did you think of the land, here you were in Hebron and Jerusalem and all that? What was it in the back of your mind? What did God put in the back of your mind, Abraham? Was it the place, the Jerusalem hill, the valleys? God, what did you think, Abraham? Abraham. Hebrews 11. And picking up, if I may, verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He ended up in the land of Palestine. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What is it in this land? No, it's something God's going to do here, and it hasn't got to do with the earth. It has something he's going to do with earth as it is, with earth as it shall be. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They lost interest. You know, What are you going to do? Well, you ain't going to live so long, and then you're going to die, assuming the Lord tarries, and you're going to die, and everything there is left. You left. What'd you take? You brought nothing in, you take nothing out. Well, we're strangers, pilgrim. This isn't your home. This isn't where you belong. I leave you here in the world, and put on the whole armor of God, pursue, forgetting those things which are behind, running forward for all that God has in mind for you. That's why you're still on planet Earth. So you're looking to God, running the race, pressing onward. And thus, strangers and pilgrims, verse 14. For they say such things declare, for they that say such things plainly declare that they seek a country. You mean, I thought it was, no, it's something more than that. It isn't just a hill in Jerusalem. There's more than that in it. Is that all you think we're into? No, there's something wonderful. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God has a wonderful plan in mind. You say, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, is it just a piece of ground over there? No, it's more than that. It's wonderfully more than that. It's God's place. God will be our God, and we shall be his people. Wow. Now, that's Israel. Here we are, pursuing, forgetting those things which are behind, counting it all as waste. Anything that interferes with that desire, that thrust, the excellency, excelling excellency, to go for it, to have it. God, it's ours. That's right. It's yours in Christ. Now, how about another suggestion, God? Over, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. What do they do? And what do we do? And you will know, please, in Joshua chapter 1. Remember that looking forward, running the race, one foot at a time, forward, not backwards, not looking back like Lot's wife who never made it. Joshua chapter 1, remember in verse 3, God will tell us what he told us. Moses told Joshua in Deuteronomy. Joshua 1, 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And remember from Deuteronomy and that, you know what? You can't take land that belongs to other people. I didn't give you that land. And remember, he said, if you go and do that, the enemy is going to go after you. Don't you touch them. You can walk through their land, but don't take it. I've given you this place, not any place else. I've given you my will for your life, not somebody else's will. But, no. You want God's will for your life. Your life. God's will. And thus, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. I've given you that. And thus, to be convinced, to be thoroughly convinced, God, do you have a plan? He does. God, you left me here. That's right. You told me to stand and to be able to withstand. You told me to buy up the time because the days are evil. You told me, my God, that we're going to get clipped and that you're there protecting, caring for me in the process so I won't have more than I can endure. And here I am, God, standing there, homework, school, play, trying to do whatever it is in our little lives. And we're trying to do it. God said, you want my will for your life, just as Israel was to take the land from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. you could take it all. I gave it to you, but I didn't give you China. I didn't give you Russia. That's your land. Now, being convinced, being thoroughly convinced, my dear friend, that God has such a portion, plan, does God keep his word? Maybe God meant it as a funny thing. I have works. My works for you are from the foundation of the world. My good works. Before you were ever created, before an angel ever existed, I did it. No, God, you don't mean that. Yeah. I pursue the excellency, superiority, the superabounding what? Majesty, mercy, to pursue you, to know you. That's right. That's right. Like in Israel, I fed you, I led you, I cared for you. Everything you have is because of me. That's right. That's right. Wow. God, do you keep your word? I told you, put your foot down by faith. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. You walk by faith and not by sight. You put your foot down. And you say, well, I did that last week. You got to do it every single step. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 minutes, next 5 minutes, the next 5 minutes, the next 5 seconds. That's what you do. You walk by faith. You walk by faith. And how are you going to have it? The same way you got saved. By grace of God, God saved you and you received the wonderful life that God gives in his Son. And that's what it's all about. For what? For God to put life into you. To put God into you. How can he put God and life into you? By his Son, who died. And thus you receive the perfect resurrected body of Christ as they are seated. And how can I know you, God? Because of that body there is able to be here. And God makes it so that I can know him and share him in a most unique way. That's what it's all about. My Lord Jesus Christ making that possible for me to know God. Me to know God in my heart, in my head. Thus, God, I'm convinced. And I'm going to be confident, you know, verse 5, that any man, that all kinds of things are going to be up against you. You're going to have a lot of problems. Every step of the way, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to advance one step at a time, pursuing the excellency for all that I have in mind for your life. That's right. And don't let anyone rob you of the advantage. Don't let anyone take away the privilege. You're going to be truly confident that God's wonderful power and God's wonderful presence and God's wonderful faithfulness is consistent. Joshua, do you understand? Get that understood by the people. Every place the sole of your foot. And remember, God said, I am personally there. My power is there. It's my will. My will, you want God's will for your life. And no one on this earth can rob you of that except yourself. Do you understand? You're the only person that can louse up God's will for your life. Isn't that good? You can't go after anybody else. You'd like to find somebody else. There is nobody else. Just you. You. Get in the closet and stand there all by yourself. And just stand there. Just you. Just you. You louse up your life. No one else does. You don't dare blame anybody else. You don't even start talking about it. God uses it all, like we shared. The adversary, God uses it to what? To exercise us. Wow. And thus in verse 7, be strong. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, you know. Be very courageous. You want God's will for your life. That's right. I want to possess God's will. Then, oh God, I'm going to go. God, you've given it to us. God, you expect us to take it. And it's there, God. It isn't a question of maybe not there. It's a question whether I'm going to do anything with it. That's the question. Whether I want it. It isn't a question of whether it's there or God might give it to me if I'm good enough. No, God gave it to you in Christ. And Christ is good enough. And that's why you got it if you're saved. And so God, be strong, verse 6, and of good courage. For unto this people they shall divide a land, a wonderful, wonderful thing. God has a wonderful plan for the life. And therefore, God, here I am as a believer in Christ Jesus. And boy, what they could do, what you told them to do, man, I better surely do it. And thus in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all, according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from the right hand, turn not to the left hand. Man, that's right. Forgetting those things which are behind. Don't get distracted. Lock on to the course. And enjoy the trip. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm an ever-present help. Let's go. And go to work and go to home, do your home, and get all the different problems and all the different people and all the different things. You got them. Sin, sorrow, suffering, and everything else that goes with it, dear friend. And thus to be very courageous for what? God's on our side. We want to stand on God's side. We're looking to God's side. We aren't going to look to the left or right. God, we want to prosper. We want to act wisely, God. Whether we go, God, you're going to be there. So we want to do it in your will. We want your will for work, home, school, play, marriage, everything else. God, we want your will in it. And we already have it, God. We already have it in Christ Jesus, your will. And thus in verse 9, God himself is on our side. And therefore, in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? There's your words, be strong and of good courage. Why does he keep saying be strong and of good courage? Because you must need to be what? Strong and of good courage. Why? Because you're surrounded. And if you don't have the armor on, you're going to get clipped. And remember we shared on Wednesday, the fiery darts. I mean, you got to sit there. And after all, you sit there and eat your hamburger at McDonald's. Eat your hamburger and the fiery dots just bounce. And after a while, they bounce so much, you don't even pay attention to them. You don't even think about them. Why? Because you're able to have the wonderful success that God meant you to have. In the midst of the fiery dots, the shield of faith, they can't do anything. And so you just sit there, you know, wow. And thus, have not I commanded thee be strong and of good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Afraid to be dismayed. Dismayed. Disarmed. Disabled. A great fear. A shock that makes us feel helpless. Causes us to be bewildered. Courage. Courage. Resting on God's word. Resting on God's work. Confident. Confident. How so? In the person of God, how can I be unconfident? Your presence, God. Be still and know. Wow. Thus, and they were afraid. There was reason to be afraid. There was reason to fear. There was reason to be upset. There was reason, but, God already told you, unless you are strong and of good courage, you're going to get clipped. And how can you be strong and of good courage? Because you put on the whole armor of God. Because the Spirit of God is there. You're trusting the Spirit of God to honor His wonderful person. And thus, dear friend, you'll remember. You'll remember, won't you? In Exodus 5, you don't have to turn there, 3. Moses is there. That's how God got his man. He waited 80 years to get his man. The man was prepared at age 80, not at 79, at 80. God waited till he was 80. No problem for God. Time isn't an issue. God waited, and he had his man. And thus, Moses, remember Exodus 3, 1 through 5. And Moses was there, and Moses realized and understood the Spirit of God. God was in the burning bush, and the bush that should have burned up, didn't burn up. Just an ordinary old bush. God, what'd you want him to do? What did you want him to do? Moses, take your shoes off. The shoes belong in the world. They're of the world. The shoes are from the world. The shoes are for the world. Take your shoes off in my presence. The world will hate you. Leave your shoes there, Moses. I want you to understand, the ground you stand on is wonderfully healthy, wonderfully holy, marvelously happy. Put on the whole armor of God. Moses, do you understand how you're going to go? And Moses never had an easy trip. The next 40 years of Moses' life were one of stress and strain. That's why he went up to the mountain 10 times. I think he went up 10 times. That's why he stayed so long. You don't blame him, do you? He went down below, murmuring, complaining, muttering, guttering, back up to the mountain. Where the quiet, the thunder and the fire and the everything, that's where it's good. God, you're there. That's right. I'm in the thick, as we shared, you know. And God is to be honored, yielded to, given his way, all the way, all the days, forgetting those things which are behind. God, how do you want us to go? Only one way to go. Only one way. And I don't want you to be disillusioned about life. I want you to know that the realities of life are tough and tenuous and trying. I didn't tell you it'd be easy. You aren't in heaven. You're here. And you'll only know the terribleness of it as you understand the bliss of where I am and what I've done for you. And you're going to see how the world, the more I do for you, the world is going to come. And so God, here we are, just us little people. And here you are, God. God, your will, based on your word, based on your saving work, based on the lovely ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. Father, here we are. Huh? Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you for your grace and kindness, and in some little way, our God, just remind us to not get caught up in ourselves, in events, in people. God, help us not to do it. We rob ourselves. We end up forgetting you, which you warned Israel not to forget you. And God, we forget you. We forget who you are. We forget who we are, strangers and pilgrims. God, this isn't our home. Our life isn't here. Our life is in you, God. Eternal life, precious life. God, that's what it's all about. And only you, God, can make it work. So to you be honor and glory forever and ever. God, thank you very much. And for the young and old, the little and those who don't understand and those who don't want to understand, God, for those of us who do want to understand, God, do a work in all of us that all of us, our God, might honor you. The more, the better. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing number 413, if you would. 413. Let's stand together if we can.